Okay, so today we are diving deep into something pretty fundamental, almost like the infrastructure of communication. We're talking about the techniques, the conventions that give meaning and really engage an audience in basically every creative thing you consume.
Yeah, the hidden language. Media codes.
Exactly.
Media codes.
And it's so true. If you've ever been, swept away by a film or even just like convinced to buy something purely based on the box it came in.
Oh, definitely.
Well, that wasn't an accident. That was creators skillfully combining these fundamental codes.
Right. So our mission today is sort of a crash course in media literacy. We want to unpack the three main types: technical, symbolic, and written codes, and give you the framework to understand how these, well, powerful experiences are built. You might start seeing the matrix by the end of this.
Huh, exactly. We're basically translating the textbook for you. So where should we start? Maybe the most measurable stuff, the raw materials.
That's good. Let's kick off with technical codes. Okay, technical codes. These are the ones really tied to the medium itself, right?
Yeah, specific to the gear. So for film or TV, we're talking about the operational things: lighting, camera moves, transitions, sound design, all of it.
The tools that directly mess with our senses.
Really?
You can think of it like a musician's instrument. You can actually measure the frequency of a sound or the brightness of a light. It's tangible stuff.
So let's take an example. How do filmmakers signal something like a dream sequence? It's a classic shift in reality.
Right, and they have a whole technical toolkit for that. Our research showed it's pretty consistent. You get that soft feeling.
Yeah, like specific choices.
Yeah.
Slow camera movement, maybe a bit floaty or uneven.
Maybe slightly soft focus. And those transitions become really
Oh,
important.
yeah, the long, deliberate ones.
Yeah.
Crossfades, dissolves, they make everything feel kind of hazy, blurring the edges.
Exactly. It eases you into that different state. But okay, what if you need the total opposite? What if you need like instant energy and urgency?
Right, like in that action film example we looked at, Escape. Characters running, high stakes.
So the technical codes have to flip completely. Lighting.
Got to support the urgency. So bright, maybe harsh natural daylight, or high contrast lighting. Definitely
Yeah.
nothing soft or dreamy.
And the camera can't be slow and floaty. It has to move with the action, right? Capture that breathless, maybe chaotic pace.
Yeah, fast pans, quick tilts, maybe even slightly shaky handheld stuff to make
Yeah.
you feel like you're right there running alongside them. Boost the adrenaline.
Okay, lighting, camera. What about the cuts, the editing?
Crucial. If you use those soft, dreamy dissolves in a chase scene, you just kill the momentum.
Completely. So you need the opposite.
Quick, sharp, almost aggressive transitions. We're talking hard cuts. Just bang, bang, bang.
Right, hard cuts for speed. But isn't
Yeah.
there a risk? Doesn't it feel a bit disjointed sometimes if it's just cut after cut? How do they keep it flowing but still fast?
Well, that's where the rhythm comes in. And that often leads us to the last big technical code: sound. The audio choices for an energetic scene, they have to mesh perfectly with those fast cuts.
So you need a high-energy soundtrack, probably something uplifting but intense.
Definitely. Maybe heavy on percussion, like a really strong driving drum beat to push things forward.
And the sound has to build, right? It can't just be flat.
Exactly. It needs progression. It builds and builds, hitting its peak volume, its peak complexity, right at the most exciting, tense moment of the scene.
Wow. So in all those technical bits, the light, the camera, the cuts, the music, when they all sync up perfectly.
That's when you get that rush, that single intense feeling like you're right in the middle of it. It's all engineered.
Okay, so we've covered the mechanics, the sort of how it's made stuff. Let's shift gears to the codes that need a bit more cultural homework from the audience.
Symbolic codes.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are fascinating because they aren't actually part of the product itself inherently. They rely on us, on our shared experiences and culture to add meaning.
That's the key, isn't it? It's like a collective agreement we all have. A wedding ring is, well, fundamentally just a piece of metal.
Right.
But culturally, we've loaded it with meaning, commitment, partnership, status, love. And that meaning just travels with the symbol.
So in media, creators layer these symbolic codes on top using things like acting gestures, expressions,
Set design, props, costumes.
and color. Color feels like maybe the most immediate one, especially when you look at advertising or packaging.
Oh, absolutely. Think about that chocolate bar example we looked at. It's so ingrained. You see white packaging,
Instantly think white chocolate,
green packaging.
mint chocolate, every time.
And blue often weirdly means milk chocolate.
Yeah, it's purely learned association, right? Not anything about the actual chocolate, it's just a symbol.
But context matters hugely, doesn't it? Because green packaging means mint, but green lighting in a film
could mean something totally different. Nature, maybe?
Hmm.
Or jealousy, sickness. Depends on the story.
Exactly. Context is everything. And think about marketing aimed at kids. The colors themselves become a symbolic code.
Right. They switch to really vibrant primary colors, often super saturated.
Yeah, signaling fun, energy, grabbing attention fast. And they'll often use another symbolic code, like an illustrated character on the box.
Ah, suggesting friendliness, maybe reliability, fun.
Right. So, okay, we've got gestures, props, color. But there are hundreds of these little symbolic choices in any given scene. How do creators manage to pull all that together into one, like, coherent feeling or environment?
That sounds like we're heading towards that big, fancy French term.
We absolutely are. The one film students love, mise-en-scène.
The setting on the stage.
Pretty much. Okay. It's the ultimate symbolic toolkit. It means the director's total control over everything the camera sees, all designed to create an overall mood or feel.
So it's not just one thing. It's the arrangement of the props.
Yep. Is that photo frame perfectly centered or just tossed aside casually? Makes a difference.
The framing, are characters close together or miles apart?
Costumes, lighting, color, and even where the actors are positioned, what they call blocking, all of it.
So a director could show, say, a character is isolated, maybe rich, but kind of morally cold, yeah, without even needing dialogue, just using mise-en-scène.
Absolutely. Instantly. Think maybe really high ceilings, huge empty spaces in the frame.
Blocking the character alone in a corner.
Minimalist, maybe cold design, perhaps harsh blue or white lighting instead of warm tones.
Wow.
Every single thing, the type of vase on the table, the texture of the carpet, it all functions as a symbolic code, adding up to that one simple message. Cold isolation. Powerful stuff.
Okay, so technical was the how. Symbolic was the what it means culturally. Let's get to the codes that are literally right there in front of us. Written codes.
Right. This covers any text we see or hear. So dialogue in a script, obviously, but also the actual text you might see on screen or on a page.
And while the words themselves matter, I find the visual side of text, that we call typography, is one of the most subtly powerful written codes.
Totally agree. Typography is basically the art of arranging type text to make it look good, make it engaging, make it readable.
And the main things are the font type, the typeface, and the font size. Mm-hmm. But the emotional weight they carry is huge, isn't it?
It really is. Think about the research on font types. If you're reading something very formal, like an official document,
you expect a serif font, right? The ones with the little feet on the letters.
Exactly. Because historically, serifs are linked to tradition, print, reliability. But if you're reading, say, a sci-fi book cover,
you'd probably see a sleek, clean, sans serif font. No feet. Signals modernity, maybe technology, speed.
And the emotional coding can get really specific, like a handwritten font.
Immediately feels more personal, intimate. Maybe it suggests it was written by a child, or it's just a casual note. Less formal.
Or think about horror. You often see those distressed fonts, right? Ones that look torn or scratched or like they're dripping.
Yeah, that's a written code using visual texture. It instantly signals decay, fear, violence, sets the mood before you even read the words.
And font size is the simplest code for hierarchy. Big font means important.
Like a title. It's a flag saying, look here first.
Exactly. So typography is basically using the look of language to send these extra emotional or contextual messages.
Okay, so if typography uses the look of text to grab attention, let's talk about using sound to manage atmosphere and authenticity. And this gets us into some more advanced techniques.
Yeah, audio is where so much subconscious magic happens, especially the sounds you don't actively notice. We all know about film scores, right? Music written specifically to match the scene's emotion.
Crucial. But what about the other sounds?
The everyday
ones.
That's where sound effects come in, and particularly the art of Foley.
Ah, the Foley artists.
Right. Their job is to create or record sounds to make the media feel authentic, even if the sounds themselves aren't, well, authentic to how they were made.
This is such a cool detail for anyone learning about this stuff, that dedication to engineering authenticity. You'd think the sound of snow crunching underfoot would just be recorded snow.
Almost never. Our review of sound techniques showed the classic trick. The Foley artist is often stepping on sand, or sometimes using cornstarch in a leather pouch.
Cornstarch, seriously.
Yep, gets that perfect crisp crunch sound that our brain just accepts as snow. It's a total illusion, but it makes the scene feel real, enhances the immersion.
That's amazing. And we shouldn't forget about the opposite of sound either.
Silence.
Yeah. Using silence effectively is a really powerful audio code too. If you suddenly drop the music, drop the ambient noise.
Oh yeah, that silence creates this vacuum. It forces you to focus completely on the visual, builds massive suspense, usually right before a shock or a big reveal. It's intense.
Okay, moving from sound to the editing suite.
Mm-hmm.
This is where editors really play with time using transitions. We all know the basic cut, the fade in out.
But the advanced cuts, the editing jargon, that's where the really dynamic storytelling happens, right? It's more than just linking scenes.
Exactly. Let's dive into a few high-value ones that mess with time or perception.
First up, the jump cut. This is where an editor actually cuts out frames from a single continuous shot.
So the image suddenly jumps forward.
Precisely. It's abrupt, jarring, often used to show time passing really quickly or to create an unsettling, maybe chaotic feeling. It's deliberately disruptive.
Okay, that's intentionally jarring. What about the smoother, maybe sneakier ways they play with time, like those overlaps?
You mean the famous J cut and L cut? These are staples for manipulating the timeline subtly.
Right, so the J cut, that's when the audio from the next scene starts, before we actually see the next scene.
Exactly. The sound leads you in. You hear what's coming before you see it. Creates anticipation, makes the visual cut feel really smooth, almost inevitable.
And the L cut is the reverse.
Yep. The video cuts to the next scene, but the audio from the previous scene continues for a bit.
Oh, right. So you might see someone's reaction shot while you're still hearing the end of the line that caused the reaction.
Exactly. And lets the editor keep the dialogue flowing naturally while visually moving the story forward, maybe showing a new location or that reaction.
Wow. It's incredible how much psychological guidance is happening just through these tiny, like, millisecond overlaps of sound and picture.
Totally manipulating our sense of time and place without us even realizing it most of the time.
And these ideas about precise timing and guiding the user aren't just for films, are they? We see these principles popping up everywhere now, especially in digital stuff.
Oh, absolutely. The core ideas translate seamlessly into modern interactive design user interfaces.
Like animation in an app.
Perfect example. Animation is basically a technical code in UI design, that little spinning wheel or progress bar filling up.
Yeah.
That's a visual code. It reassures you, the user, that something is happening. The process isn't stuck. You haven't been abandoned.
It's kind of like a visual O-cut then. The waiting scene continues visually, but the animation is subtly advancing the story of the process.
That's a great way to put it. And interactivity itself in games or websites relies heavily on engaging the user through all these coded elements working together.
Color, typography, sound effects, animation.
All the codes we've talked about. They have to be aligned to manage your experience, keep you engaged, make things clear. It's the same fundamental framework, just applied differently. So wrapping this all up, I think the biggest takeaway for you, the listener, is that effective media, whether it's a huge blockbuster movie or just, you know, simple loading animation, it's never really accidental.
Right. Creators are always deliberately combining these technical, symbolic, and written codes. They're working together.
Knowing this framework, even just the basics we covered, it shifts you from being just a passive consumer
to being more of an active analyst. You can start to see the creator's choices, understand the mechanisms behind your own emotional response.
Exactly. Which leaves us with maybe one final thought to chew on. We talked about the J cut and the L cut, how editors deliberately fiddle with the audio and visual timelines to manage how you feel, how you anticipate things.
Yeah, manipulating our sense of time.
So if they can subtly shift your sense of presence, your understanding of time, just by moving a sound effect forward or backward by a fraction of a second, how much of the meaning you get from media is purely down to the story, the plot you think you're following?
And how much is actually being engineered directly into your brain through the hidden, precise alignment of all these codes?
Something to think about. Go forth and start decoding everything you see and hear.